Thanks so much for joining us for the New Life Coolangatta podcast. New Life Church is one family, many churches, and we exist to simply see more people more like Jesus by planting and leading thriving local churches. We pray that this message is a blessing.
Well, welcome to church this morning. If I've not met you, my name is Scott. I am one of the pastors here at New Life Coolangatta. And we're not in a sermon series at the moment. We're always in sermon series, but we've just finished one. We're just in a couple of weeks where we call them free kicks, which means we can basically preach on whatever we like. But in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be starting a new sermon series on 1 Thessalonians. So I really encourage you to come along in 2 weeks' time. We're going to be spending a multiple amount of weeks in that book to discover what is spoken about and what's taught in that book, 1 Thessalonians. But today, I want to look at a few verses in Matthew 11 where Jesus makes a promise for rest for our souls. And I think for us today, that's something we all desperately need. Like when I go through life, it feels like everything other than rest for my soul. Everything seems really hard, seems like a burden, it seems draining. You know, just things going on at home, within the workplace. Relationships seem hard sometimes and can be really hard on our souls. And when I look around me, I look at the world and how it's in turmoil at the moment and doesn't seem like very restful at all. It all seems really hard, unrelenting, and draining. And many of us just dream about going on holidays, right? Just getting away from reality and the struggles of life, only to return a couple of weeks later to all the same pressures, all the same burdens that we had before we went. But Jesus invites us to rest in everyday life. But it makes me ask the question, is that even possible? Well, that's the question that I want to explore today. And we're going to go to Matthew 11, 27 to 30. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Before I get into the message today, I'd love to pray. Would you please join me? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for sending your Son, that Jesus, you were willing to come to reveal the character and nature of God, that you, Lord, came to take away the burdens that we carry, and that you, Lord Jesus, you give us a promise that we will find rest for our souls. So, Lord, I pray that you would help me preach this message with truth, with grace, with love today, that in the end, Lord, they wouldn't look to me, they'd only look to you, the one who brings life and life in all its fullness. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Well, before I was saved, before I became a Christian at the age of 33, I lived my entire life doing whatever I wanted. And the one thing that I noticed living that life apart from God is that I was a slave to sin. That no matter how hard I tried to get away from the sin that had enslaved me, I just couldn't. I had no power over it. It was almost like it had all power over me. And every time I did something wrong, every time I hurt others, every time I just strayed and did things that I knew was wrong in my heart, it brought shame. It brought guilt. And this is the burden that I carried with me all the time because I knew that the way I was living was not the way I should be living. And I knew that I had a whole bunch of sins that I deserved judgment for. And I remember thinking back then, before I was even saved, if there is a God, I actually deserve judgment for all the sins that I've done, not only to others, but to his creation and to God himself. If there's a God, he deserves to throw me into hell. That's what I deserve, the judgment of sin. And there was this weight of sin on me. It was this burden that I couldn't bear to carry. And I felt like my life had no meaning and no purpose. And that was just my sin, just the burden of sin on me that was making me weary, let alone all the other things that life has to throw at me, like work and relationships and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus makes an invitation to you and to me. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All who are weary and burdened. So what's your burden today? What's actually making you weary? Is it your work situation? Is it your life decisions you've got to make for now or in the future, or decisions you've got to make for others? Is it that you're going through sickness and that is a burden on you right now? Or is it your finances? You can't seem to get out of that hole. Is it relationship problems? You have relationship issues with family, with friends, and it's causing this heavy burden to be upon you. Or is it just your own sin? Your own sin that's bearing down on you, or the sins of others where they're hurting you and you don't know how to deal with that. You see, the greatest burden we carry is sin. And sin is what makes us most weary. Just think about this for a moment. It's usually our sin that causes a lack of peace in our lives, right? Or is that just me? When we walk away from God, we lose that peace that we have. And it's the sin of others against us. When people sin against us, we lose peace and we start having all these feelings of anger. And if we look at the issues across the world, they're all fueled by sin, by greed or racism, by hate or stealing or killing. And sin is destroying people's lives, destroying whole countries' lives. Even things like inflation that we're experiencing right now, it's fueled by bad decisions tainted with human greed and preservations. We have governments across the world that aren't doing what's best for the people. They're doing what's best to keep them in office. You see, there's things that we do that are all generated from this place of greed and sin. And sin's what we all face and we're all affected by. You know, I know for myself, when I sin, when I walk away from God's commandments and I start doing things that I know is wrong, I start feeling shame, I start feeling guilt, I start feeling unworthy to come to Him. I start feeling like there's this separation between me and God because I know I'm not living the way that God has purposed me to live. And then when others sin against me, I lose peace because anger wells up in me, right? Hate starts welling up inside of me and unforgiveness starts to permeate me. And we all know that unforgiveness is so damaging to us as Christians, that we're meant to forgive as God forgave. And it's this heavy burden that we wear. It's all because of sin. And in Galatians 6, Paul talks about this. He says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whatever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What is he saying here? He's saying, hey, if we're sinning, we're sowing something that's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for others. And we're going to reap what we sow. But if we're sowing to the flesh, we're going to reap destruction. But if we're sowing to the Spirit, if we're following God, we're going to reap the Spirit. We're going to reap to eternal life. So our sin leads us to eternal judgment. Do we know that? If we are without Christ, our sin leads to eternal judgment. That is a heavy burden to carry. And then on top of all this, we feel like life is all too hard, right? Like, how in the world am I meant to please God when I'm such a sinner? And we strive to do good and not sin so that God will be pleased with us and love us. But we fail over and over again, and this leads to this feeling of burden by our sin, and this ongoing struggle leads us to this weariness of heart. Charles Spurgeon says, no burdens are so heavy as to those which we accumulate by our own wandering from Christ. You know, when we wander from God, when we wander into sin, that's the heavy burdens that we carry, that we bear on our own shoulders. So the question is, if that is you today, if you feel weighed down by your sin and the burdens of life and are weary, Jesus says, come to me. Jesus offers this beautiful invitation to come to him for rest. You see, we as humans, we try and fix all of our problems, right? All of our own problems, we try and fix them. Like, I'm the best at that. I love fixing my own problems. Like, how often do we have issues and go about trying to fix them in our own wisdom and our own strength? And then when it's all too much and we're weary from the fight, then and only then do we actually come to God and say, God, help me. Like, I'm the best at this. Being a tradie, I'm just good at fixing stuff. Like, being a past tradie, I'm just like, cool, what needs fixing? I'm just going to fix it. And I put that into my life. So when I have issues and relationships, I'm like, I've just got to fix this. And then when it all goes to a mess, which it always does because I think I can do it under my own strength and I'm woeful at it, then I turn to God and I go, oh, can you help me with this? He's like, I've been here the whole time waiting for you to ask me, but you wanted to do it on your own strength, right? But here, Jesus is inviting us to come to him. That means Jesus wants to help you with all the burdens of life. And to be honest, I can't think of anyone else that I would want to walk with me in this life. Why? Because Jesus knows what it's like to live in a world full of sin. Jesus came in the flesh. If you go and read the Gospels, you see that Jesus came and he experienced everything that we experience. People that hated him, people that mocked him, even to the point where they murdered him. You see, Jesus understands, he experienced the full weight and burden of humanity and sin, and yet he lived with peace and purpose. In the midst of all that this life had to throw at him, Jesus was perfect love. So Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Who needs some rest? Just three of us. That's awesome. So then it makes me ask the question, how do I get this rest? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Why is Jesus talking about a yoke? Like, what is a yoke? Well, it's the center part of an egg that's a yellow bit. And I'm just joking. A couple of you people are like, you are butchering the scripture right now. We need to get you off the stage. He's not talking about an egg. Everyone calm down. He's actually talking about an animal yoke. And you'll see on the picture behind me, this yoke is a wooden cross piece and it's fastened over the necks of two animals and it's attached to a plow or a cart. And a yoke allows the two animals to pull the load together, to share that load. And yokes in the Bible times were primarily used for bulls or oxen to plow fields and pull wagons. So Jesus is using a physical reality to illustrate a spiritual truth. And in the Bible, the yoke, when that refers to the yoke, it's referring metaphorically a lot of the time to describe the weight and task or obligation of something. And following the law of God, following all the laws that God gave Moses, actually became a yoke, a burden to the Jewish people. There were 613 laws that God gave the Israelites in the Old Testament, but they were laws so that they would live lives free from sin and suffering. They weren't meant to be a burden. They were meant to show people that they were sinners, they needed faith in God, and they needed his help in their life, but it was to teach them the right way to live as God's people. But they thought if they kept all the laws and they kept them themselves, that they would save themselves, that God would have to let them into heaven. You see, they were already God's people. God already loved them. And he's saying, this is how you should live. But they saw it as, oh, I'm going to use this to have my own righteousness. You see, the law was a guide of right living, not salvation. Salvation was always by faith. Paul talks about this in Romans 4. He says, what does the scripture say? It says, Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Right back from the beginning, right back at Abraham. The way that Abraham was saved, that he was considered righteous, is because he believed God, not because of what he did, not because he followed the law, because he believed God. Salvation was always by faith, just like today. The law was there to point us to God and to show us how we're meant to live our lives as God's people. But the religious rulers in Jesus' time, the Pharisees, thought it was their self-righteousness that saved them. So they'd go about doing all these laws and following these laws to say, well, I have my own self-righteousness, and that's what's going to get me into heaven. And do you know the Pharisees, they added over 1,500 extra rules to the original 615. Like 615 is enough. I don't think I could remember half of those, not even a quarter. Yet they didn't think that was enough because they thought that they were going to have this self-righteousness to be able to stand before God and go, look at me, I'm perfect. They added another 1,500 laws to it. That seems wearisome, right? Therefore, the yoke of the Pharisees is this burdensome yoke of self-righteousness and legalistic law-keeping to earn God's favor and love. You know, biblical scholars have worked out that the Pharisees added over 600 regulations regarding what qualified as working on the Sabbath. Now, if you don't know what the Sabbath is, it's the day that God set aside. Even on the day of creation, on the sixth day, he rested for the seventh day. And so God brought that in to his people and said, on the seventh day, you must rest. I'm putting it there for you, that you would have a day of rest where you're not working, where you could spend it with one another. Spend it with one another and spend it with God. Because God knew that we would go off and continue to work and continue to work because of our greed. But he goes, I'm putting this in place to bless you. But then the Pharisees went along and put 600 extra laws on top of that one law. So you couldn't do a single thing on the Sabbath. It was like this massive burden. And look, if you go to Israel today, still today, if you jump into a lift on the day of Sabbath, it'll go to every single floor. It's programmed to stop at every single floor because they believe that if you press a button, that class will work on the Sabbath. How wearisome is that? Imagine walking around and go, I don't know what I'm allowed to do. Am I allowed to walk today? Am I allowed to say anything? I can't even press a button in the lift to get back into my unit. Imagine just standing on the bottom going, this is going to take a long time to get back home today. This is a heavy burden that will make anyone weary, right? Why? Because you're failing and the weight of sin is just too much. And later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for laying all these heavy burdens on the shoulders of people and making up these extra rules and regulations. In Matthew 23, he says, they, talking about the Pharisees, tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. So the Pharisees, they make all these extra rules and these burdens and put them on people, but not help them in any way. In fact, what they would do is they would go around and judge people when they failed. They'd condemn them and say, oh, you're not loved by God because you keep failing all these rules. This system of works-based righteousness that the Pharisees had laid on the backs of people is what Jesus is offering to relieve. This idea that you earn the love of God and you earn your own salvation by keeping law and all these extra rules, this is what Jesus is rebuking. You see, Jesus' invitation to come to me simply means to come to him under the yoke. Come out from under the yoke of the Pharisees and come to Jesus. Because he'll help you with the burden of sin. In fact, he'll take the full weight of the sin for us. You see, Jesus' yoke is righteousness through faith, not by works, not by keeping the law. It's simply coming to him with our issue of sin and we receive his righteousness as a gift. Galatians 2 talks about this. He says, know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. He makes it very clear here. We are saved by faith and faith alone. It's not through keeping of the law. He says, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are justified. That means in that very moment, when we repent of our sin and we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we are forgiven of our past, present, and future sins. We are justified before God because we are hidden in Christ. And he says it's not by keeping the law. Because if you want to do it by your own righteousness, by keeping the law, no one's going to be justified. Because everyone has broken a rule. Amen? None of us out there have kept every single law perfectly. Neither had the Pharisees. The law was meant to show us we need a Savior. And that's why Jesus says, come to me. You see, Jesus did all the work for us. He kept the law, all of it. He lived the perfect life that we couldn't live and then went to the cross and bore the burden of our sin and died in our place. So when we come under Jesus' yoke, we come under his victory over sin and death. And we're given this gift of forgiveness. We're given eternal life. So back to the question, how do we get this rest? Well, we come under Jesus' yoke. We stop trying to earn God's favor and love. How many of us do that? We try to earn God's favor. We try to earn his love. Jesus already earned that for us on the cross. He's already died for us. Now in Christ, we become children of God. We don't have to earn God's love. We are his children. And so we should be living from a place of that. That we are loved and we are forgiven and we live from this place. That's what we should do when we come under Jesus' yoke. And then Jesus gives us a key to all this. He says, learn from me. In that picture I showed before of the two oxen, when they were training a new oxen, they wouldn't put two new oxen together because they'd just be plowing all over the place because they don't know where to go, right? They're like, we're going over here. And you're like, no, come back. So they would put a new oxen with an older oxen. And the older one would teach the younger one, would show them how to go, where to go, would actually carry most of the load, carry most of the burden. And this is what Jesus does. He says, learn from me how to live. Learn from me how to love God and love others. We just need to read the Gospels and see how Jesus treated people, to see how he loved God with all his heart, but how he also loved others and served others. And that's why our mission statement as a church is more people, more like Jesus. We want to see more people coming to faith, but we also want to see more people like Jesus, learning from him, becoming more like him. You see, Jesus' yoke comes along with his teaching and his guidance for all of our lives. But it comes along with that for the work that we need to do. You see, coming under Jesus' yoke means you will be working, and that's a good thing, despite how that may sound at first. Work is not the result of the fall. You see, God gave Adam work to do before we sinned, before we fell. It's actually part of who we are. We're designed this way, that we are to work. Commentator Dan Doriani, says the cure for a heavy burden is not to have no burden, but a light burden, the right burden. Jesus knows the right burden. He offers rest not by inviting us to do nothing, but by leading us to the right activities. You know, as we move forward as disciples, as we move forward as a church together, Jesus calls us to work. He'll actually call us to do hard things for him, even suffering possibly. But it isn't work with Jesus, even in suffering, far better than doing it without him, trying to do everything under our own strength? You see, Jesus promises to be yoked together with us to help us with this life. And you know what? I need help. Honestly, I need help in all of life. Just ask the people that are around me. They'll be telling you, yes, he needs help. He definitely needs Jesus' help in all these areas. And I do. There's so many areas in my life where I'm like, Jesus, I need your help. I need you to teach me. I need you to guide me. I need you to help me with this. And that's what Jesus offers you and me, to come under his yoke, that he will carry the burden with you. But then he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You see, Jesus doesn't lay burdens or expectations on us and just stand back and watch us fail. He's not a hard taskmaster. He says, come under my yoke. Let's do this together. Because he's gentle and humble in heart. He's what separates Jesus from everyone else. He's gentle and humble. Is that how you see God? Is that your relationship with God? Or like me, years ago, I always saw God as this one who's always angry at me, who's always disappointed in me, who's angry like an angry dad or a bad boss that just can't wait to tell me off or to destroy me. You know, I think we have a twisted view of who God is, and it actually stops us coming to him with our sins and our failures. You see, Jesus here is expressing the heart of God, that God is gentle and loving and full of mercy and compassion and wanting to help us with our burdens. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. This is who God is. This is who Jesus is. This is the character and the nature of the one who bids you to come to him. The word gentle just means pleasant or mild or soothing or friendly. It's the opposite of rough and hard and judgmental and violent. God's not out to get you. God is 100% for you. This is Jesus' most foundational disposition. It's not to destroy you. It's to save you. It's not to strike you, but to comfort you. It's not to be violent, but to be gentle towards you. And when we go the wrong way, he gently redirects us. He doesn't shame you. He doesn't embarrass you. He gently leads us back to himself, back to the right path, to learn from him, to see him for who he really is, a loving, merciful God. We need to see God in his right light, who he really is. And we're his children. And he's a loving father. It's like me with my boys. My two boys don't need to earn my love. I love them. I love them unconditionally. They're my kids, right? There's nothing they could do that would take away my love for them. They don't have to earn that. But there are times where they do dumb things. Amen? And I'm like, why did you do that? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, you got that right. I don't know either. That was really dumb. They do weird things, right? They sin. But does that mean I don't love them? I kindly direct them back. I gently direct them back. I go, hey, this is why we don't do that, because that's hurting others or that's hurting yourself. And this is what God does. He gently convicts us. He gently guides us like a loving father does. He convicts us. That's his nature. When you understand, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. So as Christians, when we're in Christ, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. He'll bring conviction and say, hey, Scott, that's not okay. What you did just then, that's not okay. And I go, thank you, Lord. Thank you for revealing that to me. I want to walk in your ways. Teach me how to walk in your ways. Teach me to turn from that stuff. That's conviction. It's this loving correction. Condemnation is, oh, you done that? Great, I don't love you anymore. Great, you're out of the kingdom. Okay, great, you're not saved. You're not my son. That comes from someone else. They're things and things that you hear in your head that they're not from God, because God is a loving God. He's full of mercy. He's gentle and humble in heart. And so when we have this, when we have this guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can actually live the life to the full of love and mercy and grace. Because here's the thing, when we follow that gentle nudging of God, it's way better for us because we're not sinning. And it's way better for others because we're not hurting others as well. Because God knows what's best for human flourishing. And so he gently guides us so we might live that life full of love and mercy and grace. And Jesus is also humble. Now, Jesus doesn't need to be seen as impressive like we do. How often do we need to be seen? Look at me. I lead this. I lead that. Look at my job. Look at my house. Look at my car. How good am I? Right? That's what we're like as humans. Let's be honest. But Jesus is not like that. He's not like that at all. He is so humble. So much so in John 13, the last night before he went to the cross, he's with his disciples and he gets down on his knees and he washes the disciples' feet. And in John 13, we read, and when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. Let's just put this in perspective. This is the God of heaven and earth. This is the God that created all things, the all-powerful, almighty God. And he gets down and washes the feet of his own creation. He gets down, takes a towel and some water, and does this humble thing where he washes the feet. This God almighty washes the feet of sinful men. That is humility right there. And then he says, see what I've done for you? Learn from me. You should go and do that to others. How many of us get down and wash people's feet? Who'd be willing to do that? Who in the right mind would be this way if they were God? I wouldn't. If I was God, I probably wouldn't get down and wash people's feet. But Jesus does. Jesus would and Jesus did. Because at his deepest core, Jesus is a servant. He came to serve, not be served. Because that's who he is. That's who he is in the center of his heart. He doesn't mind stooping down to our level, getting inside our mess, dying for our sins. And he's not limited to whatever we deserve. He actually rejoices to serve the unworthy, the guilty, the sinful, the wayward, his children, you and I. You see, Jesus desires to serve you and me with a gentle and humble heart. That's who he is. He wants to serve you. And we're created to be with God and be in relationship with him. So when we come to Jesus and take his yoke upon us, what we actually find is this life that we long to live. And we find it together with him. And that's my experience. The life that I lived without God was so burdensome and heavy. And it was weighing down on me. But now when I've come to Christ, I experience this freedom from sin. I'm not a slave to sin any longer. I'm free from the shame and the guilt that came along with that. Now I can live a life from love, not for love, because I am loved. I'm able to love others because I'm loved. And God gives me this loving correction to guide me in life. And I come under him and I want to learn from him because he's beautiful and wonderful and gentle. And in that, I found life and life to the full. It wasn't in all this other stuff that I used to engage in. It's in Christ. And so under this yoke, with Jesus' help, I'm with God all the time. And Jesus is so gentle and humble, he's willing to take the burden and punishment for sin for you and me on the cross. This is the gospel. That God could have left us there. He could have said, okay, you've walked away from me. You've sinned. You can have that burden. You can have the judgment for it. But he goes, no, I am gentle and humble in heart. My desire is to save you. Even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to come in the flesh. I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm going to come and show you who I really am, and I'm going to call you to myself because I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to take your sin upon me, your burden, I'm going to take off you. I'm going to put it on myself. I'm going to die in your place. And then I'm going to bury that sin in the grave. And I'm going to rise again, and everyone who puts their faith and trust in me will have a new life in me. Why? Because I love you. Because I'm gentle. Because I'm humble of heart. I just want you to come to me. And he says, and you will find rest for your souls. It's only in Jesus that you will find rest for your soul. It's only through salvation, where that weight of sin, the judgment of sin, will be taken off you. You'll be able to rest from the law and sin for all eternity. which actually gives us new life, a new way to live. We live from a place of acceptance, from a place of freedom, free from the burden of sin, from a place of being loved and accepted by God through him, through Jesus, which actually enables us to love God and love others. Why? Because we are loved. We've experienced unconditional love through Christ. I've experienced what it's like to be set free, even though I didn't deserve it. And that love now is able to flow through me through the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling me to love others just as Christ loved me. This is what he brings. And then he finishes with, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's easy and light because Jesus has done all the work. And Jesus is with us. He's under that yoke with us to help us in all of life. So bring to him what is burdening you. Bring it to him. He wants to take that burden from you. He wants to shoulder it with you. And he promises us the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God will be with us and in us, guiding us and empowering us. And then obedience to God then becomes worship, not rules. Obedience to God then becomes worship, not following a bunch of rules. I'm obedient to him because of how beautiful and wonderful he is. It's not the burden of the law anymore. It's the delight of the law. My heart has been transformed. I desire to live out what God has told me and what he showed me because I know that's best for flourishing. I know that's best for others. And he said, "Do you want to come up? Thank you." And the Apostle John knew that obedience was worship, and he loved to do it. He loved to be obedient to God. In 1 John 5, he says, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome." Why are they not? Because obedience comes from a place of worship, not obligation. Obedience comes from a place of being set free from the burden of sin. It comes from a place of thanksgiving that Jesus has dealt with our sin simply through his grace, and we get that as a free gift. It's love, God's love towards us. And this free gift, it actually frees us to love him back in obedience and worship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, "The rest that Jesus offers is a rest of obedience, service, and joy in him. It's a peace that comes from being yoked with him in the work of the kingdom." The yoke is easy and light because we've been set free from the yoke of sin. And now we have a life where we actually desire righteousness. We desire to show people the kingdom of God. There's a different way to live, that it's actually freeing. So now to love God and love others is easy because it's a light load to bear. It's never a heavy burden when you love someone. You ever felt like it's a heavy burden loving people? And it's all done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just us trying to love people. The Holy Spirit is in us, working through us. Jesus is the only way to freedom from burden and weariness. It's only through him that we're saved. In John 14, he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So then he bids, "Therefore, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest." And here's the amazing truth about the gospel that runs counter to every other religion. The needier you are, the more sinful you are, the more perfect you are for Jesus. There is no self-made Christians here. Only needy people who collapse at the feet of Jesus and let him lift them up. If you're exhausted from working only to fail, from obeying to only sin again, from pushing a rock uphill only to have it fall back upon you, you're invited to Jesus. If you feel the heaviness on your heart and want to be free of sin or sorrow, anxiety or remorse or memories or uncertainties or whatever, you're invited to Jesus. The qualification you need to come and be accepted are weariness and weightiness. Your need is not a problem for Jesus. You're not adding any burden to him. He's there to unburden you. In fact, your burden is the very thing that delights him. It's the very reason why he came. He loves you and he cares for you and he wants a relationship with you. And this is a beautiful thing. You can trust him with who you really are. Because this passage tells us who he really is. He's gentle and humble in heart. Isaiah 54 says, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." It says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, no matter what is going on in life, no matter if things are falling down all around you, no matter what struggles we have, what we're facing, God makes this promise. My unfailing love for you will not be shaken. His love cannot be shaken for you. And nor my covenant of peace be removed. The covenant that we have through Christ, where we have peace in our heart because we've been forgiven, will never be removed. Says the Lord who has compassion on you. On you. So you come to Jesus today. Because he's calling you to himself and he wants nothing more to bear the load of this life of sin for you. To live this life with you today and actually live with you for all eternity. So come to him. Learn from him. For he is gentle and he is humble. Jesus invites us all today to take his yoke upon us. And he promises he will give us rest for our soul. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, I just thank you so much that we see your character and nature in this verse. That your disposition towards us is one of love, is one of mercy, is one of grace. That Jesus, you are asking us, you're inviting us, come, come under my yoke. And I just pray for those here today that feel a heavy burden. I feel like they can't come to you, God. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you bring your conviction? Would you bring your unfailing love? May they sense that right now. And Lord, may they turn to you, come under your yoke, that they would have peace in their soul, that they would learn from you, that they would do life with you, God. And they will see you for who you really are, gentle and humble in heart. And there might be someone here today that hasn't ever received that mercy from God. You've never put your faith and trust in Christ. And you were like me before, just thinking, I deserve what I get. But today you heard that God is gentle and humble and he wants a relationship with you, that he's done everything needed for you to come to him. All you need to do is repent of your sin. Put your faith and trust in him and his death, burial, and resurrection for you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because I would love to pray for you. So if that is you today, if you want to put your faith and trust in this all-loving, all-powerful, all-gracious, and merciful God, I'd just like you to raise your hand right now. I'd love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, you saw those hands. I just thank you so much, Lord, that it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with your love, your mercy, and your grace for them. Just in this moment, there's no special words. It's just speak to God. Pray to him. Ask him for forgiveness. Declare that you believe that he loves you and he died for you. And just ask him for his Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for those that put their hand up right now that from this day forward, they would be changed, that they would know your love deep down in their heart. Holy Spirit, I pray you would come, that you would fill them with your grace and your mercy, that they would have a new life from today forward. And Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We praise you and we love you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the New Life podcast. If that stirred something within you or you would like prayer, you can head to church.nu/prayer or contact us through our Instagram or Facebook page.